We finished up our series on Messiah's parables. This morning we're starting a new series on Tehillim, the Psalms. I'm going to be covering Psalm 1 this morning. Delighting in the Lord's teaching and meditating on it makes us very happy and successful. Some preliminary remarks. Why study the Psalms? Number of reasons. Of course, they're part of the Word of God. And all Scripture, including the Psalms, is breathed out by God, divinely inspired. He was in charge of the men in the process of creating all of the Word of God, including the Psalms. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We want that to be us. The Psalms teach us about God, and knowing about God is the greatest knowledge. The Psalms teach us about the Son of God. Quite a few of the Psalms have prophecies about Messiah. The Psalms are prayers. Studying them teaches us how to pray better. And knowing how to pray, knowing how to talk well to God is a very, very important thing. Many of the Psalms were originally used as worship songs. They were sung. So studying them teaches us how to be better worshipers, how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Many of the Psalms, if not all of them, are poetry. The right combination of words can be beautiful, powerful, moving. The Psalms help us appreciate interesting and beautiful combinations of words and the imagery they create, and that makes our lives richer. Many of the Psalms express emotions, sometimes strong emotions, powerful emotions. The Psalms cover the full range of human emotion. So when we are experiencing an emotion, maybe a very strong emotion, a psalm with that same emotion is there, which can help us in our situation. Let's start with Psalm 1 as we begin our series on Psalms. Psalm 1 begins the book of Psalms for a reason. It teaches us that the way to have a happy and successful, it teaches us the way to have a happy and successful life. I'm going to be using the ESV, the English Standard Version, which I think we are migrating toward. Verse 1, Ashrei. Usually translated blessed, but better translated very happy. Very happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man. Not the Hebrew word baruch, blessed in the sense of causing someone to prosper, but better translated as happy. Ashrei is a plural Hebrew noun or word. It emphasizes happiness because it's plural. It means not just happy, but very happy. Most people are not happy. This man is not just happy, he is very happy. Do you want to be happy? You need to do what this happy man does. He's very happy because he avoids evil influences and he delights in and meditates on the law of the Lord. Because of this, he has a successful life in this world, followed by eternal life in the world to come. Let's look more closely at his avoidance of evil influences. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He knows what wickedness is. He knows who the wicked are. He knows how to identify the wicked. And when they give their wicked counsel, when they advise him and others to do wicked things, he rejects their counsel. He does not act on their wicked advice. He does not stand in the way that sinners take. He knows what sin is. He knows who the sinners are. He knows how to identify them. When they are sinning, he does not go with them. When they are going in a sinful direction, he does not go with them in their sinful direction. He does not stand in the way that sinners take. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. He knows what scoffing is. He knows who are the ones who mock God, make fun of God, and the things connected to God. He knows how to identify scoffers. He does not sit with them. He does not spend a lot of time with them. He does not keep company with them. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. So this happy and successful man does not allow the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers to influence him. He rejects their company. He rejects their counsel. He rejects their ways. Now, let's take a closer look at what he does allow himself to be influenced by. He allows himself to be influenced by the law, the Torah in Hebrew. The divinely inspired teaching. Torah means teaching, which for us today includes not just the Torah of Moses, the five books of Moses, but everything from Genesis to Revelation. For us today, all of the Bible is Torah, teaching. His delight is in Adonai's teaching. He knows it is the faithful and true word of the living God. He knows he can trust it. He knows it is full of divine wisdom. He knows it will help him have a successful life in this world, followed by eternal life in the world to come. All of this knowledge delights him. It thrills him. It pleases him so much. That makes him very happy. He allows himself to be influenced by the divine teaching all the time, constantly, continually. He disciplines himself so that he meditates on the Lord's teaching day and night. That means he reads the Word of God each day. He reads it carefully. He reads it thoughtfully. He considers its meaning. He ponders its meaning. He considers its implication for his life. He thinks about how to apply the divine teaching to all of the decisions he is making. Because he does this, the Word of God is alive in him. It is living in him. It is so real to him. It's in his mind. It's in his heart. It is ready for him to apply to the various situations he will encounter. The person who is careful to avoid evil influences and cultivates and nurtures the good influences of the divine teaching will not only be very happy, he will be very successful. The next part of Psalm 1, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Let's use our imaginations. Imagine a fruit tree. Maybe an apple tree, pear tree, cherry tree. That tree is planted in a dry place. Not enough water is getting to the roots and from the roots to the trunk of the tree and the branches. The leaves start withering. The tree is no longer strong and healthy and vibrant. It's unable to produce any fruit. You have that tree in your mind? Now imagine a fruit tree, maybe an apple, pear, or cherry tree, planted by streams of water. There is a continual and abundant supply of water for the root, trunk, branches, and leaves. This tree is strong and vibrant and healthy. Its leaves are a vibrant, alive green. It produces an abundant amount of fruit when it should. That's what the life of the man is like who avoids those sinful influences and systematically exposes himself to the good influences of the Word of God. Whatever he does, he prospers. How could it be otherwise? He is allowing God's teaching to shape his thinking, to form his decisions. Therefore, he always knows the right thing to do. And he chooses to do the right thing. And the Lord is aware of this and is pleased with this and favors that man, graces him, helps him. Therefore, this man is successful in all that he does. He prospers. Those who oppose God are not like this very happy and successful man. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Let's use our imaginations again. Now imagine not a beautiful, healthy, vibrant, fruitful tree planted by streams of water, but a pile of chaff. Chaff is the light outer husks of wheat or barley or some other grass-type seed. Chaff is not nutritious. Chaff is light. Chaff is insubstantial. Now imagine that chaff on the top of a hill, and a sudden gust of wind comes along and blows that pile of chaff away. Gone. No more chaff. That's what the life of the wicked is like. He is a lightweight. His life is unproductive, unsuccessful, temporary. Ultimately, meaningless. There will be consequences, not only in this life, but beyond this life, for the wicked and for the righteous who delight in Adonai's teaching. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The world can be divided into two groups, the righteous and the wicked. God will judge the world. He will judge every human being. He will determine if his life has been a success or not, if he is acceptable to God or not, if he will enter the kingdom of God and live forever or perish in hell. The Lord may judge and punish a person in this world. Sometimes he will judge and punish a wicked man in this world. Think maybe of a man like Haman. Boo. Or he may only judge and punish a wicked man on the day of judgment. That wicked man might have a long life in this world. If God judges the wicked in this world, they will not stand. They will not win. They will not be vindicated. They will not endure that judgment. They will fall. They will not stand. And when the Lord judges the wicked on the day of judgment, which he will, none of them will stand. None of them will be declared innocent. They will all be condemned. They will all be punished. They will fall. They will not stand. Sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. There is a congregation, a great community of the righteous. There is a great congregation, a great community, a great assembly of the righteous now in this world, the true followers of King Messiah Yeshua. And there is a greater congregation of the righteous in the world to come. After death, resurrection, and judgment, There will be that greater congregation of the righteous of all the nations and the ages will be in an eternal assembly gathered together in the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And I am really looking forward to that. Sinners, scoffers, mockers, the wicked may think they are the wise ones, the smart ones, the successful ones, the good ones, the righteous ones. They may consider themselves to be part of the congregation of the righteous. But the truth is that they have no standing in the true congregation of the righteous. They will never be part of the congregation of the righteous in this world or in the world to come. The righteous God will make absolutely certain of that. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The all-powerful and all-righteous Lord who knows all, he knows the way of the righteous, and he favors those who travel that way. He graces them, he helps them, he blesses them, he helps them succeed. And that same righteous Lord knows the way of the wicked, and he opposes the way of the wicked. He is working against that way, and he will make sure that those who travel that way will not succeed, not only not succeed, but ultimately perish. There is coming a time when not only will the wicked perish, but the way of the wicked will perish. Their way of evil, wickedness, defiance, rebellion will come to an end. No more wicked, no more wickedness, no more way of the wicked. Only the righteous and the way of the righteous forever and ever and ever. How very happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Practical suggestions to apply Psalm 1 to our lives. Start your day by reading the Bible. Even though I say this to you, I know that some of you won't do this. Start your day by reading the Bible. Before you begin your regular activities, if you start your day with the Bible, it's more likely that you will continue your day with the Bible, thinking about it, meditating on it, applying it to your life and the decisions you're making that day. If you don't start your day with the Bible, your entire day may be Bible-less. I think I just made up that word, but I like it, Bible-less. Read your Bible every day, even if it's just a little bit because you got up a little bit late and you're feeling rushed. Read your Bible every day, even if it's just a little bit. Build that habit, that spiritual discipline into your daily life. Reading the Bible is not like reading a newspaper or watching TV or a movie. It is a deeply spiritual activity. It should not be done in a mindless, spiritless way. The mind must be fully engaged, and so must the spirit. Before you read your Bible, you pray. You pray a prayer like this: Lord, thank you for your word. May your spirit fill me as I read your word. As I read your word, may your spirit guide me into all the truth by helping me understand the Bible. Help me understand it. Help me remember it. Help me apply it to my life today. Help me to think about your word throughout the day. Delighting in the Lord's teaching and meditating on it makes us very happy and successful.